listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the second stanza, for my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then the refrain, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, and abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not, he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's give thanks for these words. I think of what Moses wrote and Christ repeated. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. Many times we have here some very pertinent words. The first ones we read, know ye not. We are to know, and we are to believe, and we are to take these words very, very serious. They are a matter of life and death. Without them, we have no faith, and without faith, we cannot please God. And without pleasing God, we are lost, doomed forever. It's through this word that we are brought to both repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give thanks and beg as well for what we need. Our Father, we do give thanks for these words. We give thanks for the truth of them, the description of us in our sin, the description telling us what we were. As plainly as Paul could say to the Corinthians, such were some of you. And we know that some are guilty of one sin and some of another, but we together have become unprofitable. As thou hast told us by the pen of the psalmist and by the New Testament writers as well, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. All of us have come short of thy glory, and we are here for thy glory. And we pray that we might have these words made effectual to us, that it will be for thy glory in repentance, and it will be for thy glory in faith in Christ Jesus, whom thou in thy love hast given. We pray, Father, in his name, that we may be taught these things as the Corinthians were taught them, and as it brought them later to a godly sorrow. And we pray for such reviving in the church, both repentance of our sin, and also more of the fruits of the Spirit, of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, faith and all the fruits that can come from the Spirit applying thy word, from the Spirit taking the things of Christ and showing them to us and giving them to us, giving us the mind of Christ, giving us the Spirit of Christ, giving us the power of Christ. And we pray that the church once again might be endued with power from on high, as the early church was, and became a mighty witness in Jerusalem and throughout the world. And we pray for that again, Father. There might be an awakening, there might be a reviving. There might be that which will bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men in our individual lives. Father, that we might have peace with thee through Christ in our assemblies, that we might have peace rightly one with another, that there might be unity and unity between the churches and the bodies of Christ as well. And especially we pray for unity in the home, the many, many homes broken and troubled, Father, and the children in those homes and the rest of us too cold concerning it. We pray that thou would teach both the church and in the home concerning these things. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray for the needs in the workplace. We pray for government. We pray, Father, that we may not just in our government see the error of others, but see our own errors, that as a nation we might repent and not just speak of the sin of others that does really no good. Oftentimes, Father, only angering one another and being in pride, thinking we are the right ones and the better ones, when all of us together have become unprofitable in our nation as well as in the church and in the home and in our individual lives before Thee and with one another in every regard. We pray that we might see it. We pray it, Father, for the needs in the school. We pray for those that are both in injury and sickness that will not have the blessing of being healed and must live with it. They might have the grace to bear under it. And especially we pray, Father, for those who will soon meet the end death because of it. We ask for Thy blessing now on this word. We pray that Thou would bless all of Thy word wherever it is heard. We pray that more laborers might be called and sent to every nation, that soon all the ends of the earth will hear and fear and turn unto Thee, both Jew and Gentile, all through Christ. Amen. As we look at this again, having looked at it somewhat last week, thinking of the church at Corinth, a church that has low esteem amongst many people, but as Christ said while He was here on earth, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 that need no repentance. There are many churches today that think this church needed repentance, and we don't. But this church knew they needed it and did repent after Paul had written them this first letter. And we can read in the second letter, the 7th chapter, of the blessing that was to Paul, and I'm sure the blessing to themselves and to the glory of God. I'd like to keep on looking at these different things that we started with last week. 10 different sins mentioned. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And it says very plainly, these shall not enter the kingdom of God. They won't. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? On the one hand, the message comes to sinners. On the other hand, we cannot continue in sin and expect that all things will be well. It is true that Christ died for sinners, but we need it in the way that it is spoken of here after mentioning these 10 sins. When Paul says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Washed. I think of the description in the book of Revelation of the host that no man can number that came out of great tribulation and had washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. David said, wash me. We need to be washed in the blood. And then he continues, but you are sanctified, set apart, changed. There must come a change. Paul will write in the second letter, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When Paul called these babes and carnal, we might not like such terms for ourselves. But what a wonderful thing it is to be a babe in Christ. A new babe. Born again. A new creature in Christ Jesus. And we will know ourselves as babes. Except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is part of being sanctified, changed in our thinking, as well as in our standing. All of it together. Much change. When Paul experienced that change, he was astonished, trembled. It was a change. Surprising. And many people experience that. And some are sent to mental institutions because of it. I've known of many. I've gone with some there who wanted to be protected against being kept there. I visited many there in such a state. And it was true in the scripture. The Lord Jesus was accused of being beside himself. Paul was accused of being mad. There is a change that the world does not understand and does not recognize. And not until we have it do we know it. Can we see it? And can till our understanding is opened that we understand the scriptures. Oh, how thankful we can be for this. And of all the arguments that there are today, and our society is changing. Sadly, those who should make our laws change with society. They hold up, as it were, their finger to the wind to see which way it's blowing. And now we hear that some of these sins here that are mentioned, the majority think such things are all right to be done, all right to do. Does the majority rule? Maybe in a democracy, but not in the kingdom of God. There's one who rules. There's one who speaks. There's one who judges. There's one who gives. There's one who sends. Some to heaven and some to hell. And his word will stand. If you don't believe it now, woe unto you. Because through believing it, there's life evermore. Not believing it brings eternal death and leaves us in the death that we are, dead in sin. We spoke somewhat about fornicators last week, and that they aren't just the unmarried, the young people, boys and girls, young men and ladies. Sometimes we think boys and girls, yes, sadly, true, very young. As we hear the sad statement, children bearing children, younger and younger. People are entering into that wrong, illicit relationship called fornication. And as we said, it's not just boys and girls, men and women unmarried, which is really the sin of fornication, in contrast to what is mentioned a little bit later, adulterers, the sin of sexual immorality amongst those who are married, and fornicators amongst those who are not married. And it is true also of men with men, women with women. Fornication, we read, shall make them members of a harlot. That was often spoken of in Scripture. There was also the sin of sodomy, men with men, and that is still being done today. There are the places where sinful women draw men, but there are also places where sinful men draw other men, and where this fornication is committed. We'll see a little later, time permitting, that the Lord Jesus speaks very much against fornication. He speaks against it as a sin and gives it as the only reason for divorce. And that is, I believe, that when one finds that their mate was unfaithful before marriage, as Joseph thought it to be true with Mary, until God told him what was really taking place, that the son that she was going to bear, the Lord Jesus, was born of the Holy Spirit and of God, God's Son, taking on him the form of a man, being born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, she was the Virgin. There was not fornication. And we need to see this sin as it is. It's very, very rampant. And wherever this takes place with girls, there is the guiltiness of the boys, of the young men. And I think we need to see that, especially when fornication ends in pregnancy, and pregnancy ends in abortion. There isn't just the guilty girl or the guilty woman. There is the guilty boy, the guilty man, and sometimes, sadly, guilty parents of those people that caused the pregnancy, wanting the reputation to be protected rather than to allow the child to be born and supposedly a dishonor in their home. But just think of, first of all, God. David said, "Thou knewest me before I was formed in my mother's womb." He knows every child born in the womb. He knows what is done with that child. And it's a terrible thing if what takes place is killed, murdered in a terrible, terrible way. Sometimes more awful than murder of older people or young people that were years old. It is gruesome. It's horrendous. It is terrible. Murdering the most innocent. We think of the sin of Hitler. And I heard it described that he was a monster, killing those 6 million Jews. More or less, we don't know the exact number, but there was that. And we think of Russia killing millions, especially in the Ukraine. We think of China killing those who were enemies of the state, supposed. Not truly that. The state was wrong. They were probably the more loyal citizens, but they were called that. And they were killed because of such terrible ways of politics and communism and other ways, sadly, many times as well, the ways of religion, both within the bounds of what's called Christianity and heathen religions. Older ones killed, the persecution, they're terrible. The awfulness of bringing people to death in sometimes what was called the rack. And as we read in Hebrews 11, sawn asunder, terrible ways in which people were killed. But again, they were enemies, at least in the sight of the murderers. But is a child an enemy of anybody? Fathers, mothers are their own enemies, their own worst enemies. They can be drawn into this sin very quickly, easily. But it is a sin, and I want to add with it, no different than really other sins. Whether it's the sin of thieves, covetousness, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, all are drawn into it. A drunkard doesn't always expect to get drunk. He thinks just a drink, and soon he's drunk. We think of the same thing with thieves. A little of this, or a little of that, and then it comes more and more, and worse effect, and then they are caught. All of that begins sometimes in small measure, and ends in worse measure. And the same may be true of fornication. The Lord Jesus said very plainly where these things began. He said, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat what unwashed hands defileth not a man. That which comes out of the mouth, not what goes in the mouth. What comes out of the mouth comes out forth from the heart. The thought is there, many times in a lustful way, in a desire, lusting in the mind, and then becoming the actual deed. We can be drawn into it. Satan is very sly, very deceitful. We must, again, take every word. God has remedies against these things, all of them, ways of being content where we are. Paul writes a little later to the Corinthians in the 10th chapter, warning them, using Israel for an example. He said, Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did eat the same spiritual drink, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And he said, let us not be idolaters. This will come next after fornication. The 7th verse of 1 Corinthians 10, then the 8th verse is, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. So Paul says, don't do like Israel did. Gives the warning, the carefulness that needs to be there. And if we think that the Lord Jesus did not speak against these sins, we only have to go to the book of Revelation. This was one book that was directed by Christ to John. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John. So there are things that the Lord Jesus spoke other than just while he was on earth and recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Revelation 2, verse 14, we read of the church at Pergamos. He said, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So thou hast there also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So the Lord Jesus also warned, using Balaam, at the same time as Paul is referring to in 1 Corinthians 10, neither let us commit fornication as they did. And the end of that was Balaam leading Balak to show a way how to get Israel to sin, and God killed the 20 and 2 or 3,000. Later in that same letters, writing the letters to the 7 churches, the Lord Jesus said, again in the 2nd chapter, the 20th verse, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. It is there, and the Lord Jesus himself, through the pen of John, writes to these churches, telling them about this fornication. And we can go all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, and we'll find that those will not enter the kingdom of God, as it says here. Believe God's word, repent, and believe the gospel of Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise